First, I have to thank a lot of people to thank, but in particular, of course, I have to thank two women in particular, besides my wife, who came. She was nervous. She wanted to say, okay, there'll be a sixth lady here tonight. Mrs. Manrix, that the shiur was her, is her concept. So she thought of it and she pushed it through and she was mechazeket. So yeshu kayach. And of course, and Mr. Schaefer, whose home it's in. And it's learned really. She asked that it. He learned Leila Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson, her father. And sometimes I remember to say it in the beginning of the shiur, and sometimes I don't. But that's what the shiur is dedicated for. She gives up her house, and as you women know, that's not a simple thing to do every Sunday night. Okay, and of course I thank the women who come, the steadies, those who have been steadies over the years. Sometimes there's floaters in and out. Some people have come for a year even or more, and you know, got tired of my voice and come back, and then some people popped in once in a while, and I thank everyone because the shiur is very, very interactive. Baruch Hashem, people ask, and we really grind out in very practical, real terms what the Chovos HaLevavos is saying, and what does it mean in real life? So what happens if this happens, and what do you do in such a situation, and what does the Chovos HaLevavos mean by this? And it's extremely interactive, and it's very stimulating. So I gained a lot out of the shiur. I gained, and I plan to gain more as we continue in Chovos HaLevavos, and I'm really humbled by it, because I thought, you know, I know, I'm teaching Shara Bitachon, and really from... I guess it's so whenever you teach, and it's especially interactive with highly intelligent people, highly intelligent women in this case, it just clarifies it, and Baruch Hashem, I feel that we made it very real and practical, and we traded stories at times, like this happened to me and that happened to me, very, very useful and real and practical. Before I start actually summarizing the Shara Bitachon, we really have to first understand what the word means, right? The first thing you have to do is the definition, because the definition is not as clear as we'd like it to be, and we struggle with this. What exactly is the definition of Bitachon? Does it mean you hope that Hashem will do what you'd like him to do? Does it mean you trust him to do what you would like him to do? You wish that he does it, you assume he'll do it. Does it mean you just leave everything in his hands because he's Hashem, and you know, whatever he does is fine with me? Do you have the right to expect anything? I expect that he will kach v'kach and do kach v'kach. So what does it mean to have bitachon in something? And of course, the magic word hishtadlus, that we all find refuge in if our bitachon isn't up to par. What does that word mean, and how far does it go, and is it a concession that, you know, we're not really going to have like that much bitachon, you know, we have to help Hashem along a little, so is it just a concession, or maybe it's an obligation? The Chovos HaLevavos explains it's an obligation, and we'll be talking about that in Yetzer Hashem. What it means, where does it start, where does it end, and that the Chovos HaLevavos considers it obligatory. Now, we're familiar with the psukim and the statements of bitachon throughout Tehillim. Tehillim is probably, I would estimate, 40% psukim of bitachon. And so if we're familiar with Tehillim, we're familiar with psukim of bitachon, and we say, in davening, bitchu v'Hashem adayad, and Ashrei Adam Boteach Boch, and when Shmona Esrei we say V'Sayin Tzochotov L'Chol Abotchem B'Shimcho B'Yemes V'Simchel Keinu Imohem V'Lo Nevosh Ki V'Cho B'Tochnu. Now, you know, we don't want to be Dover Shkarim Chas V'Shalom. We're saying to Hashem, with Avinu Shmona Esrei, and we're saying Belo Nevosh Ki V'Chol B'Tochnu. So, like, we want to work on that. We struggle with it, but we certainly want it to be true. We say Vani B'Chas Tocha V'Tachti Yogeli B'Bishua Secho Yihi Chas Tocha Hashem Oleinu Kasher Yochal Nuloch. Before Kriya Shema, we say again, "V'lo nevosh li'olam bo'ed ki b'shem kachecha hagadol v'hanorah b'tochnu Yisrael b'tach b'Hashem." And then the David Hashem Ori v'Yishi, it's all about Bitalom. I mean, if you weren't here Shabbos, I'm sorry, but on Shabbos we talked about in upstairs in the shul, what's the connection between saying the David Hashem Ori and Elul and Rosh Hashanah when the Mizmor seems to be about, you know, im tachane alai machane lo yiroli bi, im tukum alai mochomo, bezos ani voteach. And then we say Hashem, ki obi v'imi azavuni, v'Hashem yasfeini. And it's all that we trust, and heim akoshnu v'nafolu. So, what is this bitachon, this elusive bitachon that we're searching for, that's so important? We can't really review the Shaar HaBitachon tonight. Why? Because the Shaar, the Chodesh Halvavos, the Shaar HaBitachon, the Chodesh Halvavos in general, and maybe I'll put a plug in now for the Shaar Avodas Elokim that we'll be starting. The Chodesh Halvavos is not written as a Shulchan Aruch of the mitzvahs Bitachon, although Bitachon is a mitzvah, and it could use a Shulchan Aruch. It's not written, and therefore, you know, so we can come tonight and review the halachas. And it's not written as a Musar Sefer exhorting you to have bitachon because it's such a great thing, and the psukim say it, that you're totally involved with Hashem in your life if you have bitachon from a Musar angle. He doesn't write it like that. And he doesn't talk about, it's not written as a hashkafic work, which plumbs the depth of the philosophical underpinnings of bitachon. Although we've talked about these things over the years, over the 3 years that we've learned it, this always came up, and we've talked about it and thought about it and discussed it. But that's not what the Shaar HaBitachon is written as. The Shaar HaBitachon is written as a workbook, as a manual of how to develop bitachon. That's how he writes it. You want bitachon, he starts off by saying why you should want it. Doesn't talk about frumkeit, and it's a mitzvah, and what's the matter with you. Of course you have to have bitachon. Yeah. He says bitachon is the greatest thing in the world since sliced bread, he doesn't say. I don't think they had sliced bread. The Chavis Havavos lived over 1,000 years ago. I don't know if they had. So the question is, what did they say before they had sliced bread? What were things as good as? So it's mashma from the Chavis Halavos, they would say it's as good as having bitachon. He says it's a great thing to have, and I'm going to help you develop it. And as we go through the Shaar, it's very mesudar. We've talked about someone just taking the Chavis Halavos and actually developing workshops based on the development of acquiring bitachon, because it's very, very mesudar, very structured, and very organized. First you do this, and then you think about that for a while, and then you go on to the next step, and then the next step. So no one's going to walk out of here tonight presto bingo having bitachon. No matter how marvelously I talk, and I plan on talking marvelously, but no one's going to walk out of here having bitachon. It's not easy. It's not that easy. It's not easy. And that's not, the Chavis Halavos is a workbook. It's a manual. And it takes time and effort and concentration. And you take, let's say, a half a chapter, and you say, I'm going to work on this for a month. And he tells you what to do. I think about this and I think about that. And when this comes up, I think like this. And you haven't yet developed bitachon, and you go on to the next step. So we're going to review the definitions, Bitz Hashem, now, and we're going to go through the steps that the Chodesh Halvavos goes through of how to develop bitachon. But I say, you know, it's a workbook. It's a we can't do that tonight. You can't do that in 45 minutes or an hour or 2 hours. You can't develop it. So I'm sorry. If you might walk out of here wishing that you have gone to the shiur over these last 3 years. That I hope happens. Okay. The Chovos Halvavos in Perek Aleph, very, very organized sefer, he defines it. But he doesn't say the definition of the word bitachon. He assumes we know what it means, because it's a Hebrew word. Even though, as it turns out, no one's quite sure what it means. Mrs. Gold is here, I think I saw Mrs. Gold. So we know what bitachon means, right? When you buy insurance, right? That's bitachon. Right? That's bitachon. But that's the opposite, almost, of bitachon. That's something we have to grapple with. When you buy bitachon and when you have bitachon. The joke is that bitachon, let me see if I remember, if I have to say it over correctly. Bitachon is mila'el. Right? And bitachon is milara. Right? You either get that or you didn't get it. Okay. So he doesn't say what the word means, but he defines it. Perek Aleph is what's the muhus of bitachon? What is its essence? And it's unbelievable that in Perek Aleph, which is five lines Perek Aleph, where he describes the essence of bitachon, he talks about being calm, being serene, being stress-free, being relaxed, having peace of mind, menuchas nefesh, you're confident, you're serene, you're not stressed out, you're calm, you're relaxed, you're not nervous. That's his definition. Because we know that people are full of anxieties, and people are full of worries, and everything that much of life is, we're nervous about money, we're nervous about children. I'm not talking about being concerned and taking steps, you know, and doing what you have to do. I'm talking about being stressed, being nervous, being anxious. So, you know, the Malbim says, in the David Hashem Ori, in fact, he says, Hashem Ma'oz Chayai, the David Hashem Ori, V'yishim Mimi Ira, Hashem Ma'oz Chayai, Mimi Efchad. And the Malbim explains the difference between Yira, Mimi Ira comes from the word Yira, and Mimi Efchad comes from the word Pachad. And he says, Yira is when you know what you're up against, and you're afraid. So that has a maila and a chisara. The maila is at least you know what you're scared of. It has a chisara because it may seem insurmountable to you. Pachad is fear of the unknown. You don't know. You don't know what's lurking out there. Why isn't my son home yet from cheder? What's going to be? How am I going to take care of this? What does tomorrow hold? How am I going to get through the day, the week, with this, with the mortgage, with everything that's going on? There's no specific fear. You can't point to anything. That's pachad, the Malbim says. So Hashem ma'oz chayai mimi ira, even if you can define the fear and you know what you're up against, mimi ira, Hashem ma'oz chayai. Hashem orivi yeshim mimi ira, Hashem ma'oz chayai mimi avchod. Right? You're not afraid. Hashem li lo ira, mayase odom li, we say. So the Chovos Halvavos incorporates that into his defining bitachon in Perek Aleph. That you're calm. You're calm, and we ended up using the word in English to rely. That you rely on Hashem. But the Chovos Halvavos doesn't even talk about Hashem in the first and second parak. He wants to make sure you understand what we're talking about. We're talking about I'm relying on anything. I'm relying on someone. We'll talk about Hashem just for convenience sake in the first two now. But he wants to make sure we understand the term. Because you don't want to talk about something and not understand what the term means. You rely on someone. I'm relying on my uncle to lend me money. I need money to make a down payment on a house. So, okay, I'm relying on my uncle. He's going to lend me the money. So the definition of true reliance, of bitachon, to rely, to be somech on someone or something, on some object, he's not getting frum on us yet. He's going to bring Hashem into the picture after he defines it. But you want to have bitachon. You want to be able to rely on something or somebody, because in every facet of our life, we're always relying on something or somebody. It's absurd to think not. Every time I get on a bus and go to Yerushalayim, I'm relying on the driver, that he's not drunk, and that he knows how to drive, and that he'll be careful, and he won't drive recklessly, or else I wouldn't get on the bus. So I'm relying on him. And I'm relying on the manufacturer of the bus. Right? That's not going to fall apart at the first bump. I'm relying on the manufacturer of the tires. I'm relying on the manufacturers of the gasoline, or whatever they use there, petrol, whatever. Right? Diesel. Right? That it's not impure. He didn't get a bad shipment and just throw it in. Right? And I'm relying on the manufacturer of the highway. Right? That the road's going to hold up. And the steering wheel. I mean, I hope I'm not making anybody nervous now. We're always relying on something. I'm relying on my boss to send me the check. I'm relying on my refrigerator that the milk is not spoiled in the morning. We're always relying on something. Perek Aleph says that really, to bitachon means to fully rely on someone, and you're not nervous anymore. You bought a brand new refrigerator, and it has a warranty, and it's not the day after the warranty; it's the day before the warranty. It's gone, so you're very calm, right? Now we're going to explain the only rational way. In Perek Beis, he goes on to say, the only rational way you can really rely on something. But Perek Aleph is the definition. That in our lives, we always, everything we do, we're relying on something. When you cross the street, you're relying on. So, but to truly rely on someone or something means, in the definition, in the muhus of the word, means to rely on someone in a way that you're calm and you're not worried, and you're not worried that maybe you left your house and you left the workman there and he's supposed to fix the refrigerator. You're relying on him. If you're truly relying on him, the meaning of the word lismoch alav or livtoach alav is, I'm relying on him in a way that I'm not nervous anymore. He's taking care of it, and I'm sure he's going to take care of it, and I'm sure he's capable, and I'm sure he'll do it, and he won't forget about it, and he won't mess up, and he'll do it quickly, and I'm calm. I'm stress-free. So Perek Aleph defines bitachon as reliance. To rely, to be so mechal, in a way that I'm not stressed out. I'm not nervous. I'm not anxious, I'm not nervous, I'm not worried, I'm calm. That's what it means to have bitachon. To rely on something or someone or somebody in a way that you have menuchas hanefesh, v'yelibo somuch al misha botach olav, that he'll do, he'll take care. He throws in, at the end of the five lines, which is Perek Aleph, that to do that, you have to rely that the person's going to do it even if you don't deserve it, even as chesed. That the workman working on your refrigerator, even if he realizes that you're not going to pay him today, right, you're still going to fix it. You can't really be calm unless you think that the object of your reliance is going to go beyond the letter of the law. He's going to go lefnim mishuras hadin. He's going to use nedava v'chesed to do what you would like him to do. That's what he says. He just throws it in. It's a thought that will be developed later, but it's important because we're in the real world now. And in the real world, I can't be totally... He wants us to be totally calm. It's a tremendous chiddush, the first parak. That the muhus of bitachon is to rely on something or someone in a way that you are so totally calm. And totally means totally. It's not like thumping when no one's looking. You're calm. In Perek Beis, he goes on to say that there are seven conditions which will allow you to have bitachon in such a way. Still, no talk of Hashem. Nothing about Hashem yet. Just wants you to use logic. He wants you to chazer it, to work on this. What would make me fully rely on someone or something in a way that would make me be totally calm? So he goes through seven conditions. Condition number one is that the person cares about you and loves you. And he wants you to memorize these and chazer them over and, you know, make some acronyms so you can remember all seven things. But he's just talking logically. Number one is that the person cares about you and has your interests at heart. How else can you rely on someone? Number two is that he's aware what's happening with you. He's aware of what's going on in your life, because if he gets too busy with other things, if I'm relying on my uncle to lend me the money for the down payment and his money is, right, and he's busy, he can't see me today. I go to his house, I have to get over to the bank to make the down payment. But he's busy with other things. Or he's lazy and he was somewhere else and he didn't bother coming home. Or he had other things in his mind, he got involved in other things. So he cares about me, he's my uncle, he loves me. But he's busy with other things, he got distracted. He got lazy perhaps. So number two is the person can't, I can't be afraid. You see what he's leading towards. Because what the Chavitullah is leading towards is that only Hashem has all seven things. And therefore, there is nothing that can be the object of your reliance. You can't rely on anything, really. Not really. You can only rely on Hashem, because only Hashem has all these seven things. Number two is he's not busy and tied up and distracted by other things. Number three is he's capable. You know, someone could love me, and someone could care about me, and someone could be very involved in my life, and then they give me a medicine if I'm sick and they're poisoning me. He doesn't know what the right medicine is. He's Eino Yochel. He doesn't know what to do. He can't help me. He's not strong enough. He's not smart enough. He's not capable enough. I'm relying on him. What am I relying on? He loves me. He's going to take me to the airport to catch a plane. He loves me. He cares about me. He doesn't forget that I have a plane to catch. He doesn't know how to drive. Well, he can't help me. How can I rely on him? So number three is he's yochol. Whatever I need, he's capable. Number four is he knows what's good for me. He knows what it is I need. And this is a major part of bitachon. And it's a major part of handling bitachon when Hashem doesn't do what we would like him to do. But right now we're still in the definition. And the Chavitullah is saying, you can't rely on someone unless you think he knows what's good for you. If you go into the pharmacy, and he's capable of giving prescriptions and filling them out, right? But he doesn't know what this particular illness needs. He doesn't know what's good for you. Maybe you're allergic. You know, he gives you something that ostensibly is good for you, but it's very not good for you. Chas v'shalom. Right? I think we might have all had that experience, that a medicine is not good for you. You win a lottery ticket? Fantastic. How could you be more glicklich than winning a lottery ticket? But many, many, many lottery ticket winners, the marriages break up, they commit suicide, they squander their money with all sorts of nourish or silly things. And then they look back in retrospect a year or two later and they say, this was not good for me. So number four is, I can only rely on someone or something that knows what's good for me. And that wants only good for me. Doesn't not fagin. I can't rely on someone if I'm afraid he doesn't fagin. He knows what's good for me, and he wants to be mativ to me. Number five is amazing. It's an amazing psychological insight. He says, even if you have someone, he's not talking about Hashem yet, even if you have someone that loves you and cares about you and knows what's going on in your life and doesn't forget and doesn't get distracted, and he's capable of everything in the world, and he knows what's good for you, and he wants to be mative to you, number five is, he has a track record. He has helped you in the past. Amazing. Because remember, the Chayavos HaLavos wants you to have bitachon, that if you hook yourself up to a nervousness stress meter, it's going to be a totally flat line. There's not going to be any palpitations that you're a little nervous. And this is amazingly keen insight. If the person or object of your bitachon doesn't have a track record, you never know. You never know what he'll do. You don't know how he'll react. If this is the first time I'm asking my uncle for a loan, so even if all this is true, I am nervous. Lamaisa, what's he going to say? He has to have a track record. That's number five. The person has a track record. Number six is that there's no one else in the world that can help me. And there's no one else in the world that could stop him from helping me if he wants to. In other words, if there's someone else that can help me, so I'm not fully relying on my uncle, because in the back of my mind, if my uncle doesn't give me the loan, so I'll go to someone else to get the loan. So I'm not really relying on him. And if I have someone that's going to talk Lashon Hara on me and stop my uncle from giving me the loan, well, stop anybody that would stop him from giving him the loan, maybe his wife, who's smarter than he is. So I can't rely on him. There's someone that could stop him from giving me the loan. So number six is the only way to fully have bitachon, to rely, to be somech on someone, and you're calm, is if there's no one that could thwart what he wants to do for me, and there's no one else that can do for me what he will do for me. So he is the focus and the object of my reliance. And number seven, and again, you have to just memorize these things and chazer them over. Number seven is what we alluded to in the first parak. Amazing insight. Number seven is, he's going to help me even if I don't deserve it. That's how much he loves me. He loves me so much that even if I mess up, and even if I don't deserve it, because, and let's jump right away to the point, because we all have this issue when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everybody has the same question. It's not an original question, I'm sorry. How can I be talking to Hashem? I know what I did yesterday, or this morning, an hour ago. I know what I did. How can I possibly have a talking to Hashem? Isn't he out to get me? Isn't he going to punish me for what I did? How can I possibly, what be talking? What does it mean? So that's number seven. Number seven is that you can only have bitachon, indeed, if the object of your bitachon is such an adiv lev, is so generous, that even if you don't deserve it, and as I'll jump to a later, in a later parak in the Chayavos HaLavos, he says that to properly have bitachon in Hashem, you can't go against his wishes, because you can't expect Hashem to do anything for you if you don't do what he wants. So we said, wait a second, he just contradicted himself. Well, not just, like 8 months ago he contradicted himself. So we saw, and we delved into the words of the Chayavos HaLavos. He says, don't be a moreid in Hashem. That's all Hashem wants of you. Chafetz Chaim says the same thing in the Sefer Shmiras HaLoshon. Ach Bashem al Timrodu, he says. Chafetz Chaim goes through the same thing with the Meraglim and Eretz Yisrael, and how can we have Eretz Yisrael, and you have to be such a big tzaddik to be zochet Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael spits out sinners, and like, we can't go to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ach Bashem al Timrodu. Don't be morey than Hashem. Meaning, in our parlance, do your best. If you do your best, and you don't intend, you don't willingly or willfully go against the will of Hashem, and you're indeed doing your best, and your best is not perfection. Hashem doesn't even dream that we can be perfect beings from the age of Bas Mitzvah and on. Right? This is something that we work on our entire lives. And we work, and we fall, and we get up, and we try again. So we may not deserve it. But this Hashem is Rachum V'chanun, and he's a Nediv Lev, and as long as we're not Moreid, this is what we said, that's what the Chabad Chabad is saying. That's why in Perek Aleph he says, to fully be calm and stress-free, you, the object of your reliance has to be ready to do for you nedava v'chesed, even if it's not deserved. And in Perek Beis, number 7 is that the object of your bitachon has to, you have to feel that he's going to do for you even if you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it because you're not perfect yet. And the chanami, if you're moreid, if you do things willfully wrong, you have no right to have bitachon. Some argue with the Chavis Halvavos even in this. It says, okay, there are psukim that imply that even a Rasha could have bitachon, but that's already a philosophical discussion. So what are the 7 things that are, the definition of bitachon is I'm relying. And we always rely on something. We're always somich on something. We can't live without relying on something. Relying means bitachon in a way that we're stress-free. We're calm. To a degree, we're calm. We always expect the refrigerator to be working. When we go over to get milk, the refrigerator's working, so we're relying on the refrigerator. We're not worried that the milk may be a sour. Well, okay. That's the point, you see? And then Perek Bey says the 7 things which allow you to be stress-free. Loves you and cares about you. Is aware of what's happening with you always, is able, understands how to help you and is able to, he knows what's good for you, has a track record, no one can stop him, no one else can help you, and he'll do it in the Div Lev, even if you don't deserve it. Let's stop now and backtrack. I want to go back. A little out of order, I apologize for that, but I want to go back to the Hakdama. No, let's go on to Perek Gimel. Let's go on to Perek Gimel. What Perek Gimel says is Hashem. Here the Chavis Halvavos introduces Hashem into the equation and says there is a mitzvah of bitachon. And a Jew, and we see in all these pesukim, you have to have bitachon in Hashem. All that is really, to a believing Jew, is a hagshama of a reality. When I go to Yerushalayim and I say I'm relying on the bus driver to get me there, and I'm relying on the bus manufacturer, and when you bake something and you're relying on the oven manufacturer that he did it properly, and that there's no 2 wires and your house is not going to explode, there's 2 wires, and you're relying that the proper heat is going to be there, and you're relying. A Jew's avoda is to say, no, I'm relying on Hashem. Hashem is the only one that will determine and decide if I get to Yerushalayim, if the cake comes out well, if my son gets into the school, if my daughter gets into the school, if I get the job, if I get the paycheck, if there's anything that goes on in our lives, we have to exercise bitachon. Bitachon is an active verb. I have to work on it. I have to rely on Hashem. not rely on my boss, not rely on my refrigerator. Hashem is the one that determines that I could walk from here to the kitchen to even get to the refrigerator, right? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Zokef Kfufim. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Atir Asurim. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Rokah HaOretz Al Hamoyim. What am I relying on? A person can have a stroke in a split second. We know of stories when they do. I'm relying on Hashem. The avoda, the malacha of bitachon, is to bring Hashem into our lives, to realize what so every Jew, every believing Jew, knows is true. If I were to go over to you and say, okay, I got to get this job, Oh, it's great. I know someone that knows the boss's daughter. The guy, I'm going for an interview tomorrow. First of all, I'm going to dress, dress nicely. I'm going to make a presentable presentation. And I know someone that knows the boss's daughter. So a believing Jew says, if Hashem wants you to get the job, you'll get the job. If you do the hishtadlus, which we may even get to tonight, and if Hashem doesn't want me to get the job, I won't get the job. And no matter who talked to the boss's daughter and who talked to the boss, and no matter what anybody will do or won't do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's determining whether or not it happens. And if he wants it to happen, it's going to happen. And if he doesn't want it to happen, it won't happen. So I rely only on him. That's the only object of my reliance. The true bitachon, smicha, who am I smicha on to get the job? Who am I relying on? I'm relying on Hashem to get it. I hope to get it. I hope that Hashem feels that it's good for me. But bitachon is to rely on Hashem. The malacha, the avoda bitachon, is to focus that verb of reliance on Hashem, not on anything else. Because only Hashem, and it's logical, only Hashem cares about the seven things that only Hashem. That's what it means to have bitachon. And since no one, Hashem is HaKol Yachol, and no one can thwart Hashem, and no one can stop Hashem, and He loves me, and He wants what's good for me, and I see this as good for me. It's good to be healthy. It's good to have wonderful children, right? It's good to have parnasa. It's good to be able to pay the mortgage. It's good to have a refrigerator that works. It's good that the cake comes out well. This is good. These things are good, and Hashem wants what's good for me. If we don't have a sense that Hashem cares about us and wants what's good for us, then our bitachon will have to be lokui. That's a problem. Then we're missing number one, that Hashem cares about us more than my parents cared about me, more than my wife cares about me, more than my best friend cares about me. Hashem, in fact, sent these people to care about me as shluchim for His caring about me. That's a whole another way of looking at it. Chavis Halbovis mentions that in the fifth perek. He says, my parents love me. Hashem sent them to love me. It was Hashem's love. It was Hashem's love that He sent, and they were the shluchim to carry out His love. But if we don't develop a sense, that's why it's important to think about these things. If we don't develop a sense that Hashem loves us, and that Hashem cares about us, and that Hashem is native to us, then indeed we can't have bitachon. We have to develop that understanding that Hashem has all seven requirements in order for me to be somech. And we have to develop a sense that Hashem, what's number four? I think it was number four. That Hashem knows what's best for us. That goes hand in hand. I can only rely on Hashem if I develop the understanding that He's mative, and that Hashem is a mative goes into our very understanding of the very nature of Hashem, that he's only a Meitiv. Anything else is as inconceivable as any other thought about Hashem, which is improper. We know Hashem Echad, so you say, okay, but that Hashem is a Meitiv is the Psukim and the Torah is a given in Hashem's nature, so to speak. As much as we can talk about Hashem's nature, is that he's Meitiv and he does only good. That's why the Shaar Bitachon comes after Shaar HaBechina, where the Chavos HaLevavos wants us to work on our heightened awareness and develop a heightened awareness that Hashem is a Meitiv. And sometimes it doesn't match our definition of Tov. Right? The guy that won the lottery ticket. Everyone in this room, I am sure, can write on a piece of paper something terrible that happened to them, that they thought was terrible at the time, and it turned out to be good, and something good that happened to them, and they were ecstatic, and it turned out that it was not good. We all have had such experiences. No question in my mind. Hashem knows what's good. And Hashem is a Meitiv. And Hashem only wants to do Tov. So I'm relying on him to get to Yerushalayim. And if I get stuck on the way, I know that this is what's good for me. It's Tov. So therefore I can fully rely on him to get me to Yerushalayim. Fully. I'm relying on him. Who am I relying on? The driver. The bus manufacturer. The oven manufacturer. I can't fully rely on them. Things happen. Only Hashem. Right? And if it doesn't work out the way I planned, the way I would like it, the way I would expect it to happen, I'm calm. I don't have tinnitus. I know that everything that happens to me is tov. Another sense is that everything that happens to me is from Hashem. And this is the epitome of this is David HaMelech. This is very, very important. To develop the awareness that it's number six. It's only Hashem that can do things to me. If I can't get, my neighbor can't harm me unless Hashem wants my neighbor to harm me. This has to be pounded into us. No ganav could steal from me unless Hashem wants him to. Nobody can harm me or help me unless Hashem wants it. So David HaMelech, when Shimi ben Gera, right, this is the epitome. This is when David HaMelech becomes the fourth Merkava L'Shechina, when he says, you know, Hashem Omar Lo Kalel. That is how we have to think. And we want to take Nekama, we want to get back at the person, we want to lash back at the person, we get angry, and then we start talking Lashon Hara, and then we start doing all kinds of things, and it all is a totza'ah from not having bitachon. Because with bitachon, we develop a heightened sense that everything is from Hashem. Because that's number six. To fully have bitachon, we have to understand that no one can harm me unless Hashem wants it to happen, and no one can help me unless Hashem wants it to happen. So bitachon has within it, if we work on bitachon and we work on these, on the awareness of the seven necessities, qualifications, in order to develop full bitachon, which means to be totally stress-free when we rely on something, on somebody, on Hashem. That includes that Hashem is meitiv and that nothing can happen to me unless Hashem wants it to. No neighbor can do anything to me, and this already is how we work on Nekama, on Netira, on Lashon Hara, on Kaas, on sadness, on not being Besimcha, because Chavos HaLevavos says, with a heightened awareness that Hashem is Meitiv, and a heightened awareness that everything that happens is Hashem's doing, so the Jew is besimcha, because he knows it's good for him. So that's basically the first two prakim. In the third perek, he points out that Hashem has all of these qualities, and he talks about other necessary conditions to develop bitachon. For example, not being moreid in Hashem. He says an amazing insight in Perek Gimel. A necessary thing to develop bitachon. In Perek 3, he says there are five conditions that you need to develop bitachon in Hashem. Till now he wasn't talking about Hashem. So he gives five things. Number one is to realize that Hashem has all of the seven things that he talked about in Perek Beis. That's number one. Number two is amazing insight. He says to know that Hashem knows what's in your kishkes. Why do I have to know that for? I mean, it's true, don't get me wrong. But, like, why do I have to know that? To have bitachon. Amazing insight. He says, you won't develop bitachon if you can get away with lip service. The only way you'll develop bitachon in Hashem, because the whole world is, it's really, bitachon is counterintuitive. Because we see a world in which there was a war because of this, and this person got hurt because of this, and this person became rich because of this, and this person became successful because of that. We see a world of imagery, of siba umesovev, that's really just puppets. We don't see the strings coming down from Shemayim. But Hashem is just playing everybody for puppets. If in your heart of hearts, you don't know that Hashem knows what's in your heart of hearts, then you won't develop bitachon. Amazing insight. You just won't. Because you'll always stop before it's real. Before, when nobody's looking and nobody's listening and you're just alone in your house and it's only you and your kishkas at 2 a.m. The baby's not even crying. He says you won't develop it because you'll stop. But if you realize that Hashem knows what's in your pnimius, then you have a chance to work on it. And then he goes on to say, realizing that nobody, he talks about doctors. We spent quite a few weeks discussing going to doctors. But the bottom line is that a doctor is a shliach. We say that. But, you know, we had a lot of trouble with why people feel, I'll speak out now. You know, they say, a doctor is just a shliach. So why do we always go to the best doctor? If someone says, okay, here's the second best doctor in the whole Israel, but I can get you an appointment with the best doctor. We'll all go for the best doctor, I'll bet you. Why? Why do we lock our doors with the double lock? Some good questions. You had to be at the shir. I just want to quickly... Okay, my wife warned me this would happen. You were right again. Where is she? Just one word about Hishtadlus. The Chavis Aldada says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in which we have to go through the motions of normal life. He says, it's muchrach like that. That's how Hashem created the world. And you have to do what's normal. Now, how to determine what's normal is very difficult. It's hard. It's a hard call. I've said many times, people call up and ask me, should I take out a full page yid? Maybe a half a page yid is sufficient. Why do I need a full page yid? It costs more money. Isn't it enough ishtadlus to take out a half a page yid? These are issues we have to grapple with and decide. But the point is, Chavis Aldada holds, it's a chiyuv. You have to, Hashem wants us to go out into the world and act like a regular person and have bitachon. For two reasons, he says. Why didn't Hashem, since Hashem is anyway pulling the strings, so why couldn't Hashem just, you know, come down the chimney and give me my money and give me whatever I'm supposed to get this year? Why do I have to go to work? Why? Why did Hashem make a world? Chavis Aldada says Hashem wants dafka such a world. A, because that's where nisyonos lie, and that's where bechira lies, and that's where we're going to find out what kind of a person you are. That's where your nisyonos lie. You have to go out into the world, and you have to work, and you have to do things, and then we're going to find out if with Shabbos, and with Geneva, and with Ono'a, and with Lashon Hara, and with Rechilus, and with Masa Gvul, and with all sorts of issues are going to come up. And second of all, he says it keeps you out of trouble, because as we all know, when we have leisure time, it's a very dangerous time. So that's what he says. And also that's your nisayon to develop bitachon, because as I say, it's counterintuitive, because we're working and we're getting a paycheck and I'm relying on my boss to send me the check. No. I'm relying on Hashem, because how can I rely on the boss? He can go bankrupt, he can get angry at me and fire me, someone else can come along, a debtor. I'm going through the seven things and showing you he doesn't care about me. So if he has someone, a different debtor to pay off, he'll pay off the other debtor before me, and so on and so forth. The only proper object of bitachon is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we have to work, you have to focus, bring Hashem into our lives, and say, I'm relying on Hashem. And that's reality. It's not like a frum kite. We believe it's Hashem. We just have to work on making it part of our reality, our lives, and then be zochel. I'll say one last word. I don't want to keep you, it's not fair. And you're too polite to walk out. The Chovetz Chovetz holds that bitachon is this act of, it's a verb. I'm relying on Hashem. The more you do so, the more your schar will be that Hashem will respond in kind and not allow what's out there to affect you. If you say, I'm relying on my uncle, Hashem says, okay, have it your way. And we'll see if your uncle is in a good mood when you go to him. If you say, we're relying on America to give us arms, Hashem says, okay, we'll see. Maybe we'll see who gets elected president next time. And there's your America. If you say, the more you rely on Hashem, the schar, the reward, that's not what bitachon is, but the reward of bitachon, this is in the Ramban and Iyob that I said yesterday in Shul, to the Chovetz Chovetz in the beginning of the first of the Hakdoma to Shara Bitachon. That's the schar. Yihi chastecho Hashem oleinu ka'asher yichalnu loch. The more you bring Hashem into your life and the more you rely on Him, the more, this is what we're told, this is what the Ramban says, and this is what the Chovetz Chovetz says, this is what the Ramban says, the more Nevuchim. The more you're involved with Hashem, the schar, He responds in kind and says, I indeed will take care of you the way you want. And that's what we say, okay, thank you for coming. We didn't get through it, as I said, you were right. And this is really the beginning, the Aleph. We're learning Shara Avodas Elokim next. If you want to join us, despite very good advice to the contrary, but as my wife will tell you, I never listen to good advice. And we're going to start next week, Mitzvah Hashem, with Shara Avodas Elokim. Okay. Shkoya, thank you for coming. What?
Can I ask a question?
Okay.
A question.
Yeah, sure.
I understand that